world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning, good morning, good morning. It's great to be the guy who stirs the drink. That's what they used to say about Thurman Munson. You guys say, who's Thurman Munson? Well, Thurman Munson was a catcher for the New York Yankees when they were really, really good. He went to Kent State University and actually died in a private plane crash in the, God, what year would that have been? Late 70s, probably, maybe early 80s. I can't remember when it was. But they always said about Thurman Munson on the New York Yankees that he was the straw that stirred the drink. He was the straw that stirred the drink for the entire team. In other words, he was the guy who impacted the attitude. He was the guy that when things got going one direction, he stirred the drink and went going another direction. And I tried to stir the drink. That's what I tried to do. I tried to stir the drink. And I appreciate y'all coming in here. I wish a million of you were in here because I think that unanimity of ideas is it's not always good, folks. It's not always good. And the Bible says that in the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. And I think we've grown up and we've lived in a Christianity where we didn't follow a multitude of great counselors. We followed one guy. We followed one guy in a pulpit, and he directed your entire spiritual walk, your entire spiritual life. Now, I want to tell you this because I hear from people all the time that I stir the drink and we cause conflict here, not on purpose. Bible says that you shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, shall make you free. Do you want to know the truth? And one of the problems that we run into, one of the results of Coach Dave Live, whatever this thing is, what this gathering of people that we do every day, is it opens eyes. And when it opens eyes, it causes conflict. It causes conflict. And that's why pastors, I think probably for the most part, they avoid conflict. Because conflict brings, you need some grease. It brings conflict, man. But it's good. Folks, it's good. The Bible says to work out your own salvation. I want you to stop and think about that a minute. Work out? You guys work out? You work out? I used to, not as much as I should. To work out? Isn't that like kneading dough? You work it out? You work it out? Do you ever get a sore arm and say, God, I gotta work that thing out of there? Work out your own salvation. There should be some pain involved with working out your own salvation. It shouldn't always feel good. You should sometimes be challenged by what you believe and ask yourself, why do I believe this? Who told me that? And I want to work it out. I want to know the truth. And I could give you examples, like maybe not examples, but I know that there are people who've dropped out of the queue because why? It just hurt too bad to work it out. It just hurt too bad. It caused conflict with their spouse. It caused conflict with their kids. They found the truth, and they wanted everybody else to know the truth. And so they would go tell others the truth, and then it would cause conflict because they were the straw that was stirring the drink, and the drink didn't want to be stirred. The drink was happy just being a drink. And so I fight that every day because If I opened up right now for testimonies, say, hey, tell me some of the people that are giving you a hard time. How many times have you heard, well, you ought to stop listening to that cult. You got to get away from that Coach Dave. And if you're watching this show every day, you know this. It's not about what I believe. I just question what you believe. That's pretty much it. And if you were to sit down honestly and you were to get out a piece of paper and you were to write down my theology, what Coach Dave believes, I think you'd have a hard time putting down on paper what I believe. And the people on the outside, just like you sometimes, just like all of us, we don't like to be challenged with what we believe. We don't like that. We want to feel comfortable in our faith. I was going to talk a little bit about being unequally yoked. Maybe the Lord will let me get around to that, because I think there's a lot of that out there. A lot of you folks, I'm going to get back. I'll get to it, Lord. I heard you. A lot of you unequally yoked. You are unequally yoked. You're unequally yoked in your marriage. You're unequally yoked in your family. You're unequally yoked in your church. You're unequally yoked within your fellowship. And the more you see the truth or begin to question the truth, or at least ask questions, the more your yoke is being broken. Now, look, I think it's a good thing. I want to be yoked to the Lord. I don't want to be yoked to some pastor, some denomination. I don't want to be yoked to that. It says not to be unequally yoked together with non-believers. What? Yeah. Yeah. Don't be unequal. Well, I'll get to that in a minute. Unequally yoked. A lot of you are fighting it. And I don't know how to help you. I wish I could help you. If you guys knew, Michelle and I, yang and yang, we were going someplace yesterday. If I say left, she says right. It's just kind of the way we operate. Just is. And I said, daggone, why are you always doing that? Why are you yinging and I'm yanging? Stop it. Can't you ying with me? And just by nature, but I love her so much. And she's just so refreshing to my soul. But sometimes it makes me, see, but some of you are unequally yoked. I know at the end of the day, I know where Michelle and I are really yoked. I really know where that is. And all the peripheral stuff, she just, her yinging is just knocking stuff off of me. My yanging is just knocking stuff off of her. And that's what this show is. You don't have to come here and be a follower of Coach Dave, whatever. You may come in here because you want to hear what Jeff Klein's got to say today. You may want to hear I might want to come in and hear what Paul has to say. If your friends out there who think that you are in a cult following me, they ain't got no clue of what goes on in this, right? They really don't. So I just want to encourage you. You're on it, folks. Rush Limbaugh said that you are on a relentless pursuit of the truth. I am. If it's not true, I don't want to believe it. And if it is true, I want to believe it. And I'm not afraid for you to bring up something that shakes my deeply held religious belief. I believe this.
Amen.
Ever and ever and ever. And all of a sudden, evidence is coming to me that that wasn't true. I don't want to continue to believe it just because it makes me feel good, warm and fuzzy, right? I can run down a litany of things that I used to believe that I don't believe anymore. And do some of them cause conflict within my family, within my friendships? Yes. Why? Don't be unequally yoked together with non-believers. They don't believe. And I'm going to ask you this. You better consider this. Just lecturing you a little bit here this morning. Are the people that you're having conflicts with, are they filled with the Holy Spirit? Or are they just churchgoers? Because they ain't the same boys and girls. Bible says that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And I think some of you are being guided into all truth, and it's causing conflict at home because you're living with somebody or surrounded by people who aren't interested in the truth. They're interested in believing what they already know. That'd been a good place for somebody to say amen. That, in fact, is the conflict. And then, so what do they want to blame? They want to blame Coach Dave Live. It's you. You started hanging around ever since you started watching that guy. Yeah, ever since you started watching this guy, you learned to think. And they don't want you to think anymore. They want you to go back and be that old mushroom you used to be. They don't want that. And they don't understand that you're being transformed by truth, by the word of God, that you're actually beginning on your own to question authority, to question things people have said. And they don't like it. They want the old you. You with me? So that's what we're up against. I don't want to cause conflict, but I'm going to do the best I can, speak the truth. And if you like it, what's that say? Like it or lump it, baby. Like it or lump it. But for them to blame me or this cult, dudes, make them a challenge. Tell them you give them $100 if they watch it 10 days in a row. That'll shut them up. That'll shut them up. You know why? Because they'll get red-pilled. They'll get red-pilled. Mark Trump will come in out of somewhere and they'll say something, God, I never thought of that. Boy, and Randy will come in from, oh my God, I never looked at it. And boom, boom. In the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. I want to know the truth. Amen. That's where we're going today. I'm going to talk about being unequally yoked. But in the meantime, Liberty Mel's got some up-to-date stuff that she wants to give us. Let me say this. Thank you to some of you who went online and made an offering to us yesterday. I don't beg for money, but hey, it's tough. It's tough everywhere you look, man. It's tough. And we're paddling hard, keeping our head above water here. And I just appreciate you that went online. And some of you gave 10 bucks and some of you gave 25 bucks. And I just want you to know we appreciate it. So Mel, come on in here, Mel, and fill us in. What's going on?
All right. Good morning. Hey, we're not a cult. We're the church. We're finding our tribe here. So anyway.
I would say that the truth-seeking church probably looks like a cult, doesn't it? It probably
does. Whatever. I'm not worried. So the LibertyActionNetwork.com is where you can find the events that what I try to do with the Liberty Action Network .com is to lift up the arms of various ministries. So if you go to the events tab, which is at the top of the homepage, you'll see all the events that we've been talking about. Natural Family Month, we're getting ready to wrap that up on, you know, here coming up soon this weekend. We've got this tent meeting that Jeff Klein's doing. It sounds awesome. It's a multi-day event, happening in the evenings, you know, tonight through the weekend and then on Sunday morning. So there's an event for every day of that event, and there's maps in there and, you know, to show you how to get there. Then we've got Bobby Lee's event, Stop Election Fraud with Dr. Frank, coming up on June 8th. And then that's the end of the tent meeting. Keep going, Spencer. I'll keep up with you. Oh, on the 9th, this Sunday is Ascension. If you do the Hebrew calendar and figure that out. So that's all about the kingdom. So, you know, we talk about the kingdom a lot. You know, it was during the Ascension that, you know, Jesus went up to be with God and the kingdom was started. So anyway, we've got Coach Dave's event coming up too, which we've been talking about. Everybody should get registered for that. The Wisconsin Natural Family Festival, Ray LeBlanc up in Wisconsin, he's taken that Natural Family Month and really created a special event up there. Bobby Lee's got another event going. So anyway, if you're...
Hey, Mel. No, hang on a second.
Yeah.
Pretty daggone good cult, isn't it?
Hey, we're not a cult. And if we are, who cares?
Yep.
But anyway, so if you're curious about events that are coming up, I try to post everything I can find. You know, a lot of the actions coming from this group. You know, one of the new slogans for the Liberty Action Network is local action, kingdom impact. So, you know, we're looking for doers. We're looking for events and actions that doers are doing. So we're all about doing it here. James 1:25, to not just be a hearer, but a doer. Thanks, Coach.
Amen, Mel. Good. That's some good stuff there, folks. So, excuse me, LibertyActionNetwork.com. The LibertyActionNetwork.com. Mel keeps us up to date. And you see the stuff that we're doing. We're trying to promote what other folks are doing as well. And so God bless y'all. Roger, come on in.
Dave.
Yeah,
I just wanted to give a personal testimony about Sky High and your conference. And I just want to encourage people who are on the edge about coming or not, just to come. It is a wonderful time for me, a fellowship, meeting with like-minded individuals, dealing with our faith and cultural issues. It is a wonderful time of teaching. It's a relaxing time. The fireworks will be awesome.
Amen.
Pontoon boats will be great. But, you know, come if you're thinking about coming. It's just a good time of fellowship. The Sunday morning service that I've experienced over the years there is just wonderful. Like-minded people. And you'll meet people that you talk about and you see and hear in the morning, but you may not know. So just, you know, quickly, if you're on the, you know, if you're thinking about coming, this is the week to commit. It helps with numbers. It helps with knowing who's coming. But it's just, I just want to encourage people who are on the edge, may not know if they want to come or not. This is a good year to come and to make it.
You'll have a ball, man. You'll be spiritually touched. You'll meet, you'll get to look at some of these people in the eye and actually meet them. Say, wow, wow. Yeah. Thanks, Rob. Thanks for that endorsement. And Roger sets off those fireworks for us on Friday night. Is that when it is, Roger? Or is it Saturday night? When are you shooting those things off?
It'll be Friday night. But there's many, you know, there's just, it's something nice about just sitting at a table with people you've either met before, you've met for the first time, who are like-minded. There's just something that's nice about it. I'm sorry, there is.
It's good, man. It's good. So, folks, come if you can. Love for you to be there. Thanks, Roger. Jeff, come on in.
Coach, you said one sentence here this morning, stir the drink. This old boy, this old preacher coming up from Alabama, he definitely stirs the drink. Now, here's a little background on him. For, I don't know, 20, 30 years, he was a car salesman. So he's got the gift of gab. He talks to everybody. But now you throw in some scripture with a car salesman. He's crazy. I mean, this boy is great. He was sharing last night, I heard from Pastor Matt, that he's got a lady in his church down there in Alabama. She's dragging people in. The worst of the worst, the horrible, I mean, just people. He said, they're rough. They're tough to deal with. He said, but she's dragging them in. I tell her, keep dragging them in. And that, but he's just a good old boy. So we'll be doing that every night this week. And it's just, it's a great place to have that tent meeting, probably 200, 250 chairs. No houses in sight, just scenery. And then Sunday morning, you're sitting under that tent and the sun's coming up and having church out there in the middle of that field under that tent. It's just, it's going to be a good time.
And you know what's really the problem is, for the most part, thanks, Jeff. Folks, we're really not into evangelism. We're really not. Michelle and I were, I don't know if you guys have ever been to Hebron, Ohio. It's crossroad. It's about what it is. You know, I grew up in Hebron. Population, we might be pushing, it's really grown. We might be pushing 2,000 now. I don't know. And there were two ladies standing on the street corner holding signs, street preaching yesterday in downtown Hebron. And I thought, Lord, that's what I ought to be doing. How come I'm not doing that? Trying to draw a crowd. Do we really have the love of Christ in us? Do we really, really love our neighbor as ourselves? Do we really evangelize? Do we really invite people to our church? Is that what it is? That's how we evangelize. See, the greatest evangelism that you have is when you stand up and you make a public proclamation against evil. People get that. People understand that. Was it Roger who said yesterday, safe inside our four walls? Oh, it's easy to rail inside those four walls for sure. But I don't know about you guys where you go to church, but I'd say most people inside that four walls, they're probably pretty safe. You're probably not going to get smacked down too much preaching to them. But you walk out to where the devil lives and where the devil roams, going to be a lot of opposition out there. And the Bible teaches us that we're supposed to be trained, equipped, and mobilized for the work of the ministry. It's what we're supposed to do, the work of the ministry. And the average Christian is not. It's what we try to do here. That's why I get so excited when I see what Craig is doing. I see what Jeff is doing. I see what Randy is doing. I see what Mel is doing. And folks, all of those people, all of them are fruit of this show. The fruit of it. They've been encouraged. They've been directed. They now feel like they're equipped. They go.
Hey,
can I tell you? It causes some conflict. It causes conflict. And so you got to figure out, who do you serve? Who do you serve? You serve your wife or you serve the Lord? You're supposed to serve both. Both of you are supposed to be equally yoked, serving the Lord together. Why is there this conflict in your relationship? Why so many lousy marriages? Why is that? I'm going to get that in a second. So pull it up for me. Pull up Bible Gateway there. Huh?
Hey, Coach, while you're doing that, Pastor Tim took a couple of JR's yard signs a couple months ago. He's on board with the family thing. So I'm going to take him a couple of T-shirts tonight.
All right. Let me know when everybody in town's wearing one. Every church filled with one. What did I tell you to bring up? I told you to bring up 2 Corinthians. I don't know how that got up in there. 2 Corinthians 6. Yes, there you go. There you go. But be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship, excuse me, hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? You lost it for me there, Spence. Scroll back up. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. You are. It's not some place you go. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And as sad as this might, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I'll be your father, and you're going to be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And whether we like it or not, strife is arising. I know it is in your relationships. Husband, children, neighbors, bowling team, the people you hang out with are beginning to reject you. Somebody say amen. And man, out there want to admit to that, say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Why? Because they hate the Christ in you. They hate the Christ in you. And you have been yoked together your whole life with non-believers. And somewhere over the course of time, you're becoming one. You're becoming a believer. And the Lord would say to you, hey, dude, cut those ribbons, man. Cut those chains off of you. You're going to set free. And I'm sorry that it's causing conflict in your relationships, but you are going someplace that you can't drag that dead weight with you. I don't know the solution to it. I don't know. Who wants to lose friends? Who wants to lose? I joked about. I used to be really, really lost. I used to be the life of the party. I used to be. I was a lot of fun. And I got saved. And I got transformed by the power of the living God. I went from serving the King of Beers to the King of Kings. I can't explain it to you. It happened to me. And the change changed my friends. It changed who I hung out with. I no longer enjoyed some of the unrighteous stuff. I didn't even notice it before when I'd be hanging out with my crew, whatever guys I'm having fun with. I wouldn't even notice the unrighteous language, unrighteous things that were said, the unrighteous things people did. I just, it didn't matter because who am I to judge, right? And then I received the Lord, and all of a sudden, every time that happened, it was like a shock, like somebody's shock. I said, ooh. I couldn't hang it around anymore. It's not that I didn't love those people, and not that I thought I was better with them. I couldn't be yoked together with non-believers. I couldn't do it anymore. And what about the change? But pull that up real quick. Spencer, I don't know if you can. What about the change? Is that Stephen Curtis Chapman, I think? What about the change? Because, folks, this is what a lot of you are dealing with. You're dealing with change. What about the change? Steve is, yeah, there you go. There you go. No, that's not it. There it is. The change, Stephen Curtis Chapman. There's a lot of you are here. I'm trying to encourage you, okay? Here's where a lot of you are.
Well, I got myself a t-shirt. It says what I believe. I got letters on. And even though this stuff's already
Some of you aren't going to change. Yes, I am. I'm gonna have the change. I'm gonna have the difference. I'm gonna have the grace. I'm gonna have forgiveness. I'm gonna live a life that's showing. I'm undergoing the change. Okay, you can pull that down. Huh? That's it. You're undergoing the change. And can I say this? Look. Some of you better stop holding grudges. Some of you better learn to forgive. Some of you better learn to forgive those who've hurt you. Some of you better learn to forgive those who wrong you. Because I can tell you this, some of you are bleeding all over people everywhere you go, and you don't even know it.
Amen.
And people are saying, I don't want to be around him. All he does is gripe and moan about what people did, what happened to him in the past. I see, look, I don't know about you. I got born again. So all that stuff that was done to me in the past, that wasn't me. That was done to somebody else, and I move on. And I said to my wife yesterday when we were yinging and yanging, I said, you know what? I can tell you this. I don't know of anybody in the world right now that I'm angry at. I don't know anybody I have a grudge against. I don't know anybody. I've forgiven it all. Because why? Anger and resentment poisons you. And then you bleed all over everybody else. I'm going to tell you, some of you out there right now, you need to forgive somebody. In fact, you may need to forgive a lot of people and quit living in the damn past.
Amen.
Amen.
I get sick of it. I get sick of it. People, huh? People playing their wounds over and over and over, bleeding all over other, bleeding. Stop it. Are you redeemed? Are you born again? Are you a child of God? Has he forgiven you? Move on already. Move on. Because when you're holding bitterness and anger and resentment, you ain't free, man. You may think you are, but you ain't free. And sometimes it might cost you some relationships. And they may say, well, Uncle Dave thinks he's better than everybody else. No, I don't. I know I ain't better than anybody else. I know, but I ain't going to be yoked with you. Sorry, I ain't better than you, but I ain't going to be yoked with you because I know what you're doing and what you're saying, what you're believing, and I ain't being judged with you, but I ain't linking arms with you. So amen, somebody out there, amen. And see, that amen. Sounds like judgment to them. Sounds like judgment to them. No. It ain't judgment. I'm awake, baby. I see what's going on. I'm following the cross. And if you ain't coming, I still love you, but I ain't locking arms with you. Hey, friends, the gospel divides. It doesn't unite. They have lied to you. They have lied to you. The true gospel. Now, what did Jesus say? Think not that I came to bring peace, but a sword. Doesn't it say that somewhere? Doesn't it say somewhere? Didn't it say that your enemies are going to be those of your own household? I ain't kind of bring peace. What's wrong with you guys? See, it's the exact opposite message they're teaching you in the church. Come out from among them. Be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. And the church is teaching us, love everybody. Invite the homos in. Oh, invite them into church. Jesus. No. They're enemies of the cross, friends. They're enemies of the cross. And only the Holy Spirit can draw them. And you know why they're not getting saved? Because they're resisting the Holy Spirit. They're resisting it. And so we bring unsaved, not that you shouldn't let unsaved people come to church, but unsaved people come into church and you're unequally yoked. Do you realize that? Do you realize that when you go to church on Sunday, you're sitting locked by a lot of people that aren't saved? Somebody give me a thumbs up. Say, yeah, coach, I know exactly what. They have a form of godliness and they deny the power thereof. From such men, turn away. Where is that? So that you don't think I'm lying. You know, folks, you get in the Bible and you're going to find out.
Matthew 10:24.
Everywhere you look, it is division. Where was that, Dale?
He Matthew got it.
10:24. that's part of it, maybe. See, now I lost track. What am I looking for?
2 Timothy chapter 3.
No, it's 10:34 through 36.
I'll try it again. Here we go. Oh, he gave me the beginning of it. Okay, 10:24 through 36. Think not that I come to send peace on the earth. Huh? I didn't come to send peace. By the sword. Why? Because I came to set a man at variance against his father. Hey, Spencer, variance. What's that word? What's Webster say variance is? Wow, variance. Variance. In law, an alteration of something formerly laid in writ. An alteration or change of condition. Variance, disagreement. A state of difference or want of agreement. In a state of dissension or controversy. In a state of enmity. Are you kidding me? Jesus came to bring what? Disagreement? Bring that scripture back up. Think not that I came to bring peace on earth. No, I came to the sword. Because I came to set a man at variance against his father. Think about that. And has it dawned on you that the Lord's trying to get you away from some people? And that the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. I'm going to put two arms up. Amen and amen. Now, hang on. I'm not their foe. They made me their foe. You get to understand the difference? I love them to death. I'll do anything for them. But they can't wait. Oh, I could go on and on. And he that loveth his mother or his father more than he loves me ain't worthy of me. Sorry. Sorry. And he that loveth his son or his daughter more than me. Oh, you're going to embrace your son and daughter in homosexuality? You mean to tell me your son is going wild and crazy and you're still loving him, still improving him, still helping to pay his bill? Really? You're doing that? Well, you love him more than you love the Lord. Not worthy of him. Scrolling down. Sorry, I'd erase this if I could. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me ain't worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake, you lose your life for his sake, then you'll find it. And he that receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Folks, it's all about division. It's all about, it's funny, right? It's all about unity caused by division. That's what it all is. And you have to make a decision. We all got to make a decision. Am I going to compromise what I know to be the truth for the love of my child? Am I going to do that? Because the Lord said, you better not do that. You better not do that. You better stand up boldly. You better say to that child, if you're going to continue shacking up with that girl, you are not welcome in my house. Anybody think I'm wrong? Oh, coach, we got to love them. We do have to love them. But you got to love the Lord first. You're not going to bring that unclean spirit into my house. You're going to sleep with that girl, then you marry her. And if you're not going to marry her, you dishonor me. Sorry, it's hard preaching. Go follow some show that'll tickle what you want to believe. You can do whatever you want to. That easy believism. because we just read it. Pull that back up there if you could. Unequally yoked, first part of it, cross-examine. What does it mean? What does that mean to be unequally yoked? See what I'm talking about, Spencer? Right before the Bible Gateway one, it says unequally yoked. There it is. What does it mean to be unequally yoked? Yeah, can you make it a little bit bigger? Many people see unequally yoked in Bible verse and hear it in conversation and seem to have one or two thoughts into their own mind. Make sure I'm equally yoked with my spouse. Or why does Paul care about anyone's egg yolks, much less them being equal? So it goes on and talks about how when you put two, see a yoke, you understand what a yoke is, right? They put the yoke over the cattle, over the oxen to give them direction. And if the yokes weren't equal, if one yoke was heavier or tighter than the other one, you went in a circle. You didn't go straight. That yoke, the one who was bearing the burden, he would, it was like having a flat tire. One tire, if you got a flat tire, hey Clay, you got a flat tire on your left side, which way is your car going to pull?
It's going to pull to the left.
Going to pull to the left. Why? Because those tires are unequally yoked. They're unbalanced, we call them. Unbalanced, right? So the Lord says, well, dude, you're carrying around a flat tire. Don't drive with a flat tire. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You mean to tell me you go to church with people who think abortion's okay? You actually go and worship with them in the same building? Are you kidding me? You mean to tell me you go to church where there are people in there who actually believe that homosexuality is okay? Are you kidding me? You mean to tell me you're going to church with people, a man and a woman who are living together and fornicating on Saturday night and coming to church on Sunday? You let those people in your church? See, it sounds harsh, doesn't it? Sounds harsh. My mom always told me, bad company ruins good morals. Anybody ever hear that from your mommy?
1 Corinthians 15:33.
Starts out with one puff of a cigarette, just one. Starts off just one hit on a marijuana cigarette, just one. Right. What? Stuff you'd have never thought of doing on your own. That's why I worry about my grandkids' youth groups. Can anybody say amen on that one? I worry about my grandkids in youth groups because I know what's in youth groups. And can I tell you what else? I know what some of the youth leaders are all about too, right? The Bible's very, very clear. Train up a child the way he go, the gold won't depart from it. But you're not the one training up the child. You're letting somebody else do it.
Amen.
Well, I'm all over today, aren't I? Huh? You're in a cult. You're in a cult. So put this thing in the chat so people can read it because it's a good instruction. What does it mean to be unequally yoked? Unequally yoked. Unequally yoked together. Okay, this is from the ESV, which is a sissy Bible. It's on your screen. But that sissy Bible says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with the devil? Well, what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. And I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst. Be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the living God. So evidently it matters who you hang out with, I guess. Go ahead, Clay. I'll shut up. No, I won't. I'll stop for a minute. Go ahead.
Well, what you were saying makes me think about some. I thought about this before. It's like having a not having a filter on or a muffler on your piece of equipment. And so when you were hanging out with those guys before you got the Holy Spirit, you were kind of like them. You had no filter on anything coming into you, and you had no muffler on what was coming out of you. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, it's like putting a clean new filter in a piece of equipment. So it's filtering in the bad. It's filtering out the bad stuff. And then you're careful to what you speak. So you got this muffler on you too. So you're very careful what comes in and careful what goes out. And then when you get around these people that don't have a filter and don't have a muffler, you just can't hang around it no more. You can't stand it. And the same thing in a marriage, if you unequally yoked, well, if one's got a Holy Spirit filter and the other one doesn't have a Holy Spirit filter, well, that's going to cause problems, and you're not going to be able to walk together. And that's the way I see it. And
unequally yoked, right?
Yeah.
Hey, I want to teach you. I never took much foreign language. I took Latin. I know, you know, it's a dead language, you say, but the English language comes from Latin. But I never took any Spanish. I couldn't tell you. Taco Bell is about the best I can do in Spanish. Taco Bell, burrito. That's it. I don't know anything about French. It's about a French kiss. I guess I learned that. Other than that, I'm pretty much straight-laced American English guy, right? I get it. But I found out that in all the languages, the most powerful words and the hardest to say are these. Are you ready? Are you looking at me? Some of you need to learn this. It ain't pig Latin. I'm sorry. I was wrong. The grudges some of you guys are holding. You say you're serving the Lord and you're holding a grudge? When are you going to throw that thing off? When are you going to release that anger? Say, I'm done with it. I'm done bleeding with it. I got a situation I want to tell you about. I don't know how to tell about without making it sound like I'm. Anyway, I know of a situation that person is contracted to, I don't even know how to say it. Somebody needs a grass mowed, and somebody could go mow the grass. And they won't go mow the grass because of something that happened 7 years ago. Actually, they're in the neighborhood. They mow other lawns in the neighborhood. And they could go to help this person and mow their yard for them. But they won't do it because of something that happened 7 years ago. You know what a Christian would do? Bible says go pour hot coals on their head. I'd go mow their yard for them, knowing they don't deserve it. That's what I would do. That's what a Christian should do. If we're only kind to those people who are kind to us, the Bible calls it the rock of offense.
Amen.
If you are being controlled by an offense that someone did to you 10 years ago, 5 years ago, or yesterday, I'm going to tell you something. That stone is weighing you down. You don't even know it. It's weighing you down. Lord said, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. And some of you would rather carry it. And not only do you want to carry it, you want to go tell everybody about it. Look how strong I am. I'm still carrying this thing. I've been carrying this thing for 20 years. God's really faithful to me. He's given me strength to carry it. No, dude, cast it off. You know that Jesus said that, God said that, I don't even know how this is possible. The Bible teaches us that he throws your transgressions into the lake of forgetfulness. He said, as far as the east is from the west, he don't remember how you offended him. He can't even remember it. When you come to Christ and you repent of your sins, he throws it so far away. How far would that be that the Lord can't see it or the Lord can't remember it? But that's what he says he does. He throws it into the lake of forgiveness. Can't you do that? Can't you do that? Whoever it is that offended you, every time they come up in your mind and you want to bite off their nose, can't you say, Father, I forgive them. Lord, I can't forgive them. Lord, you can. Help me forgive them. Or you want to continue going around bleeding on everybody. My favorite movie is Cool Hand Luke. Huh? Cool Hand Luke. Stop feeding off me. Some of you guys are feeding off resentment. It shows. Tom, come on in.
Good morning, Coach. Morning. Forgiveness brings freedom. Yep. And Jesus said it right on the cross. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And there's a kind of a thing about the old man or that dead man is one of the tortures they would do is there was a murderer and he murdered, he would take the dead body or they would take the dead body and they would strap it to him, a healthy right. body. And what they would do is they would let them go ahead, roam about the rest of their days with that dead body that they murdered. And that dead body would decompose upon the body, thus making the healthy body sick and a quicker death.
Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? That's where it comes from.
Where it comes from. Yep. And I believe that's sometimes you can use that. I mean, I look at that too as somebody's done wrong to you. And it's a lot of times, sometimes it's that easier said than done, but it's getting to look at the cross when we have to keep going to the cross of what Christ is our example for that forgiveness and that balance, mm-hmm. because really that's what God wants us. He wants us to be one with one another. But if we hold, what does it say? Bitter envying, strife, and all those things, wherever confusion is, I mean, every evil thing is there. Wherever jealousy and all those different things, unforgiveness, all sorts of sin is there. And that's where we come to Christ to bring us. And we have to go. He said, if you do not forgive your brother, my Father in heaven will not forgive you.
The devil's got his hooks in some, y'all. The devil's got his hooks in some of y'all through unforgiveness. Yeah. Now, listen, and they don't have to be your best friend. They don't
that's,
have to be
yeah,
your best friend. You forgive and move on. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me, right? They don't have to be your best friends, but I'll be daggone if you should walk around all day being controlled by something somebody else did to you at some point. Let it go, will you?
Yep. I want you. I feel this way. I want to get
Tom, you're breaking up really bad. Breaking up really bad. Didn't hear any of that. Beth, come on in.
I love everyone. Don't necessarily like it.
Briefly on the power.
Hang on, Tom. You broke up. We couldn't hear you for about 30 seconds. I got Beth in there. Go ahead, Beth.
I just wanted to speak to the power of forgiveness. My daughter was killed by a drunk driver, and there's a program they have through the corrections facility where you could meet this person. It took a year of prayer, back and forth. And I didn't know that day if I could forgive. But I needed him to know who she was in Christ. That was so important to me. And I spent 5 hours with him. Lots of tears shed, lots of emotions. But before I left, I was able to stand up and hug this man. And telling that I forgave him, that was not me. That was totally God. Mm. And told him he needed to now forgive himself. And he then went to work with other people in jail. And he found the Lord, thank God, and worked with other men who denied what they were in there for and wouldn't own up to what they did and all that good stuff. But the peace that I got was so powerful, just being able to forgive him. And like I said, it wasn't me, it was God. It was totally God. But what the pressure and a suicide attempt and everything before I met this man, but that release, and it was so powerful. So I just encourage people, even no matter how deeply they hurt you, to find, to go take it to the Lord in prayer. He'll give you the strength and the courage to forgive them if
folks,
you're willing.
Have you ever done something, and it had far worse damage than you ever dreamed that it would. See, if we all could see the consequences of our behavior before we did it, we probably wouldn't do it. That drunk driver that killed your child, he can get behind the car thinking, I'm going to go kill somebody. It was a consequence of one sin that led to another sin that led to another sin. What would it be like for him to carry the burden around knowing he killed somebody? So, see, in a lot of ways, we have to do two things. There's a difference between what they call premeditated sin, murder one, and manslaughter. They're not the same thing. Both of them ended up in a dead person. One was by accident, consequences of some negligence or something. One was an intentional. And I'm telling you this, some of you guys got murder in your heart, man. Your anger is intentional, and you would like nothing better than to see that other person suffer. Aren't you glad the Lord doesn't have that attitude toward you? Isn't it truth that they called an accident because nobody planned that thing? And some of us, me included, like to pick wounds. Like to pick wounds. I said to my wife, oh, honey, you forgive, but you never forget. Ever happened to you? You make the same mistake again? She says, you said you weren't going to do that. I said, you said you forgave me. It's a two-way street, isn't it? And I learned a long time ago that we judge other people on what they do, and we judge ourselves on our intentions. Meaning, when the crap hits the fan, you say, I didn't mean that to happen. Yet we judge that person on what happened. So forgiveness is a powerful thing. Stop bleeding on everybody. Who's up there? James Thomas. Come on in, James.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. This forgiveness thing is serious, because Father will send tormentors to you if you don't do it.
Oh, boy. 18, fear hath tormented. Yes, sir.
Matthew 18, verse 28 to the end of that chapter talks about the one who got the one who got forgiven for $50 billion, and the one who got took his partner to prison for $100. And God says this is what the Father would do to you if you don't forgive. Forgive, people, brothers.
Forgive. Forgive. Jeff Naris, come on in.
Yeah, you know, that I always tell people, I said, you know, there's somebody that you need to forgive. There's somebody that you need to forgive. But even more so, maybe not more so, but there's also somebody you need to apologize to.
Amen, buddy.
So that you can receive forgiveness, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
There's somebody you have to apologize to just as much.
Heartfelt, heartfelt. Say, look, man, I don't know what I did. Whatever it was, I'm sorry. But that's really all you can do. I'm going to pull this up real quick. Pull up number four. I think we have time to do it. Yeah, drunk driving results in, it's an accident. Nobody got drunk. They shouldn't have got drunk, but they didn't go out and get drunk. So I'm going to go kill me somebody. Not that one. This is how long, this is really, really good. This, Matt's talking to here to a marriage counselor. Why do people get divorced? Go ahead.
Why do people get divorced? I feel like this is like, what is a woman? Because they don't want to be married anymore. No, why do people get divorced? I think there's a lot of reasons why people get divorced. If I was going to take like a big answer for that.
Yeah, I'll narrow it down. What do you think is the main, what we often hear is that money is the main reason people get divorced. Is that true in your experience?
I don't think that's true at all. That's not true in my experience. I think money is a source of tension between people. It gives people something to fight over. I will actually say now that I represent people primarily in the high net worth space or and even ultra high net worth space, like hundreds of millions of dollars, that the more money people have, the less incentive they have to be reasonable with each other because the money doesn't really mean anything anymore. So if they spend $2 million in counsel fees, they don't really care. And if they got an extra million or two in the divorce, they don't really care. Because if you're getting $100 million, getting $102 million isn't going to change your quality of life that much. So I don't think money conflict is really like the precipitating factor of people's divorces. More commonly, people say infidelity, cheating. And cheating is absolutely present in a majority of the cases that come into a divorce lawyer's office in some form, whether it's an emotional affair, whether it's a physical affair, whether it's a dalliance or like a long-term affair, like a full relationship. Those are very commonly present. But I think it's actually overly simplistic to say that was the cause of the divorce. Because I think fundamentally marriages end because of disconnection. I think we fall in love very fast. Like love is an emotion and love is a verb. It's an action. So like the emotion of love, you feel very quickly. You feel attraction. You like this person. Everything they say is funny. They brush past you and it sends a tingle through you. Like we've all been there. But that's not a real foundation to build something on, you know? And if it causes you to stop seeing this person clearly and talking about important things like shared values, shared upbringing, like what is our worldview and what was it put together by? And, you know, what are our thoughts about faith or what the goal of life is or the meaning of life is? We don't have some commonality towards that. So I think what really happens is we fall out of love the way we go bankrupt, which is very slowly and then all at once. And divorce is what happens when you get to the all at once. But to say that the infidelity was the cause, no. The disconnections back earlier, that's when you could have steered out of this thing by trying to figure out a way to either reconnect or better, stay connected.
Why do people get divorced?
Wow. Wow. James, your hand is still up. I didn't know if you just didn't take it down. Man. One more thing before we go. Leave you on a high note. Pull up heterosexual bar. JR, this one's for you. This one's for you. Pull it up. Number three, heterosexual bar. Idaho bar owner celebrating heterosexual awesome month. Go ahead and play it real quickly.
Hey, my name is Mark Fitzpatrick, owner of Old State Saloon in Eagle, Idaho. Our saloon has become the heterosexual headquarters. We launched Heterosexual Awesomeness Month for June. Monday is Heterosexual Male Monday, and if you're a heterosexual male and you come in here, you get a beer for free. There's no strings attached. We'll call it Beers for Breeders. Wednesdays, if you're a heterosexual couple, you get 15% off your entire bill. And on Thursdays, all day is Her Hetero Happy Hour. So heterosexual awesomeness is basically an opportunity to celebrate God's design for man and woman and that sexual attraction between them. Idaho's the reddest state in the country, as you know. We've got so many people here who are like-minded and who want to do what's right. They want to do what's moral. I think that this country is ready to stand up and say, hey, enough is enough. Let's stand for things that are right and true and godly. Everybody is welcome to come here and help us celebrate heterosexual awesomeness month.
Boom. Amen. See you tomorrow.